Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. And now it is time for the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. And our mock draft today, where does our mock draft today come from, Kyle?
So it's ESPN, Mel Kiper and Field Yates, I think, just going back and forth.
Okay.
Making picks for each team.
So Mel Kiper and Field Yates with their latest mock draft.
Oh, so wait a minute, Field Yates in that game now? Because that used to be Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, yeah.
I don't know where McShay's at now. Not an ESPN guy anymore. But Field Yates taking over.
So Mel got him up out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Mel has replaced him with Field Yates. So let's look at the top five picks here. The first pick to the Bears, Caleb Williams, number one. So pretty standard there. Number two, Field Yates made this pick for the Commodores, as you like to call them, Hugh. Jaden Daniels goes number two to Washington. You think that is on target?
What'd you say again?
Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU, going to Washington.
That sounds about right. They need a quarterback desperately, but it just feels bad because whoever goes there, probably that's going like the football purgatory for real.
Kiper's pick for the Patriots at three, Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. Field Yates at number four mocks Marvin Harrison Jr. to go to the Arizona Cardinals.
That would be an interesting place for him to go.
With the fourth pick. And then at number five, this is a projected trade where they have the Vikings trading up to take J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan. I don't get the J.J. McCarthy love. I don't really see it.
Quarterback, man.
Yeah.
And they're willing to take a chance.
Yeah.
On guys like, you know, if you show a little bit of anything,
yeah,
they're willing to take a chance. That's a position you need nowadays, like more so than anybody else.
And he's a winner, just won a national championship.
Yeah, you got a quarterback, you got a chance.
Yep. And then, are you ready for the Eagles pick? Hugh?
Yes.
Okay. Field Yates mocks Amarius Mims to the Eagles.
Georgia kid.
Offensive tackle from Georgia. It says Lane Johnson will be turning 34, so Philly might be motivated to pad depth at the position, something it did in advance of Jason Kelsey's retirement. Mims has just 803 career snaps under his belt, but exhibits all-world physical tools and learning from legendary line coach Jeff Stoutland would be great for him. How'd you feel about that if the Eagles went offensive tackle?
I mean, it's on brand because, you know, when you talk about the Eagles, they usually build within the trenches, and it also allows Mims to not have the pressure of being a starter right away. You know, when you talk about how many starts he's had, big kid, 6'7", 340 pounds. Don't know what his 40 time was, but I mean, he looks like from this video that I've seen, he can move really, really well. That sounds like on brand for what the Eagles could potentially do. You know, it's a guy that comes in and he, like I said, no pressure, you know, plays a little bit, probably some snaps he's going to get and learn from one of the best coaches. He ran like a 5'7", just looked it up. He ran a 5'7" at the combine, 5'07". So he got a little bit of speed to him, so for a big guy. I don't have a problem with this pick.
I'd love that pick, especially, and I don't know how versatile he could be, but if he can come in and, like, play guard this year for you, play that right guard spot that's kind of open right now, that would be huge. I feel like you need to go either offensive line or defense. I mean, can we stop with this position player stuff of receivers and tight ends and stuff? We don't.
No, we need more weapons. The more weapons you have, the better team you'll field.
You have plenty of weapons. You just signed, you know, you're too – receivers are making $50 million.
Yeah, but you see some of these mocks, man. You still need a slot receiver. So I don't think that they're going to take a receiver with the first overall pick, but I would not be surprised. Wouldn't it be on brand for the Eagles to go out in like the second round and get another receiver? And fans are going to be hot. But that's what they're
I think most fans would love it. I would hate it. I think you need to go offensive line and defense basically this entire draft.
People like a pass rusher, but nah, they're going to go off.
What about you, Kyle?
An offensive lineman in the first round would be a massive mistake. There's zero reason. Like, that blurb said he's a depth piece. Oh, great. Let me draft a depth piece with the freaking first round. Everything that this team has done this offseason has told us that they're in a window this year to compete for a Super Bowl. I don't want a guy who's going to pay off maybe in 3-4 years down the line. And if everything they're telling us about this draft is true. By the time we get to the 22nd pick, it'll be what, the 8th best offensive lineman left on the board? Screw that, especially if he's going to freaking play guard in year one. That's a terrible draft pick to me. I'd much rather have a guy that can contribute this year.
He plays guard in year one, and then he's your replacement for Lane Johnson.
Maybe.
You need to worry about
maybe.
That at some point.
Why can't we get that guy who's going to be a guard and maybe the replacement in the second round? The third round. I'm sorry. Do we not have the best offensive line coach in football? We just got a guy, just got an extension this offseason who didn't even know what football was before he got into the league. Got him in the 7th round, and they turned him into one of the highest paid left tackles in football. Why am I wasting the 22nd pick on a guy where we can just get a guy? We have 2 second round picks. Use one of them. Use one of the thirds.
That's an aberration.
No, it's not. Well, that's the most extreme example. Landon Dickerson, guard in the 2nd round. Cam Jurgens, center of the future, guard, 2nd round. Like, that's where we've made our hay with the offensive lineman. Andre Dillard, was he not the 22nd overall pick in the draft, or 21st?
That doesn't mean this guy's going to be the next Andre Dillard.
No, Tom, but what I'm saying is, I mean, it might, like, how do we know that this guy is, like, if it's maybe the number one offensive line prospect on the board there at 22, that's a little bit different. Like, last year, if they would have gotten Paris Johnson, we're talking the best O-line prospect in the draft. This guy's going to be, like, the 8th to maybe 10th best O-line prospect in the draft.
Kyle's stuck with that. He's stuck on that.
I mean, like, I've heard the Brock Bowers. We need another tight end.
Brock Bowers would make this offense unstoppable. Brock Bowers gives us a way better chance to win the Super Bowl this year than a backup tackle / offensive guard does.
And you know what's funny about the conversation that he's having, the way that he feels, that there's probably conversation. There's real conversation about what a coach would like to have with that 22nd pick. And I'm pretty sure. Never been into a draft meeting, but I've seen some you know, the board and everything. There's going to be a real conversation about where do they feel their immediate need is on this team, whether it be an offensive lineman, whether that be another D tackle, whether that be a corner. They have an idea right now of whomever's there potentially that they're going to take, and it might be a corner. And if he's not there, then there's somebody else that's in line, falling lockstep with the next guy that they're going to take. So that's the conversation they're having over there. So I definitely get where Kyle's coming from. And if the offensive lineman is there, if he grades out at the position that they're drafting as the best player at that position at 22, and if it's the offensive lineman, they'll probably take that.
Yeah. I agree that offensive line depth is a need. It's not a need where I need to spend the 22nd overall pick on it. Like, here's what I'll say. I think the Eagles have put themselves in this situation this offseason by not addressing some areas that they almost need to draft for need here and their top priority needs, like cornerback. Another playmaker on offense. Like, offensive line depth is not that big of a need to where I need to spend the 22nd overall pick on the 8th best guy.
Well, that's where I think we disagree, because I think the middle of the offensive line is a pretty big need. Like, I don't know if Cam Jurgens is going to be any good this year. I don't know if Tyler Steen can start every single week. And if one of your tackles go down, you have nobody behind those guys. Like, you need to have a third tackle in case one of those guys goes down. That's a huge position.
I just remember all the conversations last year about, you know, running back not being a, you know, positional value and stuff like that. Like, is everyone forgetting that an offensive guard is not one of the, like, top, like, in terms of positional value? An offensive guard? Really? What are we talking about here? It's a guard.
Well, but you were the Bijan guy last year.
Yeah, Bijan would have given the Eagles a better chance to win a Super Bowl than a guard would have.
Ah,
freaking Peter Skoronski. Skoronski stinks.
Skoronski's good.
You're blinded by Peter Skoronski.
Is that what it is? He's blinded by him.
Yeah, I'll have to do a hashtag for memes. Now.
It's like Hughes blinded by Tobias Harris's contract.
You know what's funny? I was sitting here and I was looking at his Hall of Fame odds. Like, they have him like 1 through 100. As far as the Hall of Fame odds go, and he's the 99th player.
If he's even listed on there, that's a disgrace.
He's on the list.
Oh my God.
But he's like the 99th player. All right. Like he's like his odds are long. Yeah.
Yeah, too high. One other piece of very important news from the draft. What Deion Sanders said that he would grant Shadur
the future draft. Yeah.
Permission to play for the Eagles, or I guess
everyone should be.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He doesn't want his son in football purgatory. Like, could you imagine, like, I respect tremendously what Deion has been able to do at the college game and put his sons in position to be successful. But that is bananas when Deion flat out said who his sons will not play for.
Yep.
And he gives them permission. There's a lot of other teams. Because, like, on that list, it was, like, what, four teams? I know the Commodores is one of them, correct?
Yeah, the Commanders, Ravens, Falcons, Niners, and the Cowboys. So, if he's trying to get his son out of purgatory, he should not want him to go to the Cowboys.
All the teams that he used to play for.
So is this
right? Not
awesome. Except for the Eagles. Yeah.
So is this the storyline next offseason? If Jalen has a bad year, should the Eagles trade Jalen and trade up for Shadur?
It all depends on how Shadur does this upcoming
season. That's
all
season. You, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going there yet. But we'll see. Hey, with Jalen's weapons, he needs to be great this year.
He does. He needs it's set to up for him to be great. It's set up for him to be great. No question about it.
And especially if they end up getting Brock Bowers or a receiver. You just don't need any more weapons. I think you're good.
That shouldn't be in anyone's vocabulary.
It's good on the weapons.
To be fun on Sunday.
Yep.
Or Friday this year with the beginning to see how it's going to play out. Who's the primary?
As long as they're not losing games 41-35.
Yeah.
Then that would be
That would be But fun. It's going to be, I don't think, like they did with a Super Bowl giving up 500-something-odd yards. So probably be a little bit of that going on.
That's a good point. They did win. They did win a game.
Nobody cared about defense then. I don't hear anybody complaining about the fact, hey, we gave up 500 yards, though. Don't hear nobody saying that.
It is so weird. Like, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, has his greatest Super Bowl against the Eagles, and the Eagles win the game.
Yeah, they shredded the D. So, yeah. It's like, but nobody's talking about that.
No, they made the play when it mattered. Brandon Graham.
That's it. That's all that matters. Yep. That's what we talk about.
Yep, so talking a lot about the Eagles, whether you're worried about the defense, Devontae Smith signed that extension earlier, 3 years, $75 million. Phillies, Pirates, are you more concerned or frustrated with the Phils? And they got the Rockies coming into town starting tonight, and of course the Sixers play-in. Are you confident or nervous about the play-in game Wednesday night? And do you think Tobias Harris is a Hall of Famer, as Spencer Haywood laid out in the last
segment? How dare you even ask that question?
I think you need to treat this audience
with more respect.
No, I looked it up. I just wanted to see because, it's just kind of telling that, you know, you got Hall of Fame players co-signing it. I just wanted to see what his odds were. You know what his odds are, TK?
What?
0.0002. Like, I'm just saying. How so it kind of makes you wonder. It may, like to Kyle's point, what game y'all watching?
Spencer Haywood has never watched this guy play. Like, that's the only conclusion I can draw.
OG got other stuff he got going on, man. He ain't got time to be watching that.
Terrell Harris is probably well connected in the league. He got word to Spencer Haywood, hey man.
Give my son a shout out.
We have big contract negotiations this offseason. They're going to be taking that video into every meeting he has. Hey, look, Spencer Haywood said he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. You know, Terrell Harris is going to use this reel that we played today in the meetings to get Tobias' next contract.
Like, not watching the games, whatever, that's fine with me. You know, I'm not a Sixers fan. But, like, my advice to you then is, like, don't chime in about Tobias Harris. If you're just completely uneducated, you make yourself sound like an ass.
Yes.
Like, that's an idiotic statement.
It is a ridiculous statement. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Big V. What's up, Big V?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, V?
First of all, I got to agree with your brother. I mean, you know, Tobias Harris to get that kind of money for being mediocre.
That's all I'm saying, man. Kyle don't like that, though. I'm just like,
I'm about to hang up on you right now, Big V.
Won't be the first time you did that, but go ahead.
You guys are driving us nuts, man.
It's just fascinating. I just think it's fascinating.
It is. I mean, hey, hats off to his dad. He pimped his mediocre son to get big money. I mean, look.
There's nothing fascinating about Elton Brand making a horrendous decision. That's all it was.
Hey, I'm agreeing with you, okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Big V.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Thank you, Scott.
Amazing.
But listen, in terms of the Phillies, look, guys, calm down. It is a little frustrating because, you know, we're Philly fans. We believe that everything that has a Philly brand on it should at least win 90% of the games. And it's, you know, rightfully so. We love winners. But then we got to take into the fact the season's still young, guys. Give them a chance. I mean, they're working on some things. You know, they're not swinging for the fences all the time. And they're winning. Bryce has got to warm up. And the Phillies, traditionally, they start slow. Then they start heating up, by the All-Star game. And then they, play like hell to get into the World Series. And then, sometimes they burn out at the World Series. So let's start them a little slower and give them some more energy, to finish the race and win that championship.
Yeah, and Big V, that's the hope that they'll be able to kind of turn it on and get going here in the next few weeks. But the issue, I think, is just we talked about this early season schedule and how
it was expectations. The expectations were very high, and this team, like, we felt like we were almost promised that it was going to be different, and it's not been different. That's the biggest frustration I think a lot of fans have with this team.
And the early season schedule is going away quickly. I mean, they're going to start facing more difficult teams in about 2 to 3 weeks, so I think these next couple weeks are critical. What do you got on the Eagles, Big V?
Okay, what I got on the Eagles, listen, this is how we season, brother, and the Eagles' model was this. They're not very good with the draft, although they have picked out some pretty good gems. The Eagles are more of an acquisition team. They want the impact players, and they want to fit them in and get them right now. They're not big on developing. But in terms of their defense, they've got the coaching that they believe to get these young Thundercats, in the groove, stopping plays, getting the ball back. And with this high-powered offense that we're acquiring, it should be easy. Every time they get the ball, they should be putting up points. That's the model that they're working on.
Yeah, and I hear you, Big V, and appreciate the call. And that's the thing, Hugh, and I think he's right. The Eagles are more of a big acquisition team. Like, they'll go out and make those big trades. Do you sense that Howie's going to do something big next week?
No, I don't. I think that, when you look at the big acquisitions that Howie usually makes, I think he made that when he went out and got Bryce Huff. I think that we have to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit when we think about what Howie's going to do. For whatever reason, Hassan Reddick isn't here. I don't know what that reason is. But Howie's alluded to the fact that, he's going to let a lot of young guys play. They sign most of their guys. I think that when he says let young guys play, I think that there's going to be some opportunities for some of these young cats that we draft to go out there and play this year. But to me, it's not lost on me that this offense is going to be the tip of the spear for this team. And if this offense plays well, this team is going to go as this offense goes. This team is going to go as Jalen Hurts goes, because Jalen Hurts, when you look at it, makes the most money. Like I told you last week, TK, I sent this to Kyle a couple days ago, and Kyle or Joe didn't respond to it. When Warren Sapp, we're talking about how defenses are not that important anymore. He said, you're going to have a decent defense, but bottom line is this. You pay your $100 million quarterback, and in this case, your $250 million quarterback, to go out there and win games for you. The game is designed for it to be that way. When you look at how offenses are put together and the way that everything caters to offenses, that's exactly what this is going to be. So with all that being said, it's going to be on Jalen Hurts. It's going to be his make-or-break year to go out there and put this team exactly where they need to be.
Yeah, no, it is. I just am interested in – if there becomes a big-name corner who is out there, or a pass rusher or something like that, if Howie would make a move. Because I as many holes as this defense has, I do think that you're one, star player away from kind of transforming it. And I'll just throw this name out there, because we were talking about it a little bit before the show, about Denver maybe looking to move up. If you could get a Patrick Surtain, I think that changes the entire way this defense looks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, because it legitimizes you at least one of those spots anyway, in my opinion, as far as a guy that plays physical and plays the way that you think the way that I think that this defense wants to play. But realistically, though, TK, I don't know. Denver, for me, if they're talking about desperately moving up, I don't think the Eagles have enough unless they give up all their draft picks.
Mm-hmm. 22 is not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough to get them where they want to be, because I'm assuming that Denver wants to be in that top five range, maybe in the top three to get one of those quarterbacks. So
right.
I don't think that we have enough to package to get them where they need to be.
Yeah,
tough for us.
Fair enough, and it's going to be interesting to see what Howie ends up doing next week. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Final segment coming up. Get on the lines to weigh in on any of the topics we're discussing today. We'll get to a great call when we get back by Kevin Harlan from the weekend, who's just the best. So we'll get to that. And also, what do the odds say about the Sixers' chances in the game on Wednesday against the Heat and throughout the playoffs? All of that coming up. Hugh Douglas alongside Tom Kelly today. I'm in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Didn't hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy.
Yes.
It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for a little, put it in that little heater over there.
Sports Radio 94 and WIP, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. Hugh, that was Kevin Harlan. He's the best when something like that happens.
You know, he's had a few moments like this where somebody's ran out on the field or, you know, animals being on the field or whatever. He's one of the better play-by-play guys because he allows himself to be in the moment and he has fun with it. You know, you have some cats that, you know, if it's not play-by-play, they can't even fool with it.
Right.
But he's one of the better ones, no question about it.
Yeah, and there was that one a few years ago. I think it was a Giants-Cowboys Monday night game where the cat was running on the field. That's what it was. Yeah, that was a good one. And there might have been another one with a streaker, too. But that was pretty good. And it's a good point. I mean, why would you throw something like a chicken wing out there?
Frustrated? Crazy?
Throw something different.
Listen, man.
People have too much money, man.
Do you know how much chicken wings cost?
I'm just
like steel.
Yeah, I mean, but look, they're like not cheap. Food's food, man. Yeah,
especially at a game like these concessions. These are pretty pricey.
Man, listen. I know this might sound like the stereotypical thing to say as an African American male, but I'd be damned throwing away some chicken wings. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just saying because especially to your point, TK, paying for them at a game, like. You're easily going to a game, say if it's just two of you there, and if you get concessions, like we ain't even talking about drinks. We just talking about a soda and some popcorn. That's about $20.
It's probably $1 a wing.
You know what I mean?
You're probably paying.
You know what I mean? I just said a soda and some popcorn is like $20. So if you talk about eating like some real food, like come on, man. It must be nice to be that person that, you know what, I'm so frustrated, I'm going to throw this $2 chicken wing out there on the court.
Exactly.
Oh, that. Forget you.
Yeah. Don't be throwing the chicken wings out on the court.
We're not doing that.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking about a lot of different stuff today. And in a few minutes, we'll have an update from Nick Nurse in regards to Joel Embiid. Also, the Sixers' chances coming up and their odds going into the game and in the playoffs throughout. Let's go back to the phones, though. Go to Ron and Monco. Hey, Ron.
What's up, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Ron?
Hey, you.
Yes, sir.
You. Today you get combat pay.
Why is that? What I do for trying to
Why
hold on?
Why you get
with
combat pay? Working with two Gen Zs, two Gen Xers at one time? Oh, my God. Hey, Tommy, what makes you think Elton Brand had anything to do with that?
Because he was the general manager.
Oh, he gave him the money.
Who do you think signed him?
General manager.
Well, Brett Brown.
Brett Brown was the general manager.
It was both
Brett
of them,
Brown
Ron.
And Simmons. Okay? But Brett Brown, that's who did this. Okay? That was the last great fatal blow to this team. And everybody should appreciate what they do, just what they do every year, year in, year out. From all the mistakes that they've made from day one, and how they overcome all their own shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, and this is such a soap opera with the Sixers. It's all about Embiid and his health. That's what it's all about every year.
That's what it's about. That's what it is, Ron. I mean, it comes down to his health every single year, and this year's no different. Are you confident Wednesday night?
But here's the thing, Tom. They actually thought more of Ben Simmons back then when they made that decision to let go of Jimmy Butler. They felt more Simmons.
I know.
I knew Simmons was a zero in the first playoffs against the Celtics, and he needed to be traded immediately. But they kept trying and sending him out.
Yeah, because
this
future.
Is what you got.
He was the future. He definitely was the future.
And how do you like our 500 Phillies? Everybody impressed?
Ron, you're not high on this team?
With this billion-dollar fiasco? Listen, this team is never going to win anything, okay? They have the talent, and that's why I'm so pissed off. They have the talent. This is the GM, okay? And this is the Yale guys with the biometrics or whatever the hell you want to call it. They got enough talent to get there and win this, but they just won't do it. They're playing it. We're going to hit home runs. We're going to hit home runs. That's what the manager, Comper, gets behind a microphone and says it to the world. Oh, we're going to slug our way out of this. Well, no, you're not. You're not going to slug your way out of it.
Let me guess.
You're going to do what you do every year.
Let me guess, Ron. You want Schwarber moved out of the leadoff
spot? No, it's not just Schwarber. It's the whole thing. Okay, there's only three guys on this lineup that don't get up there and hack. Okay, Bohm, Stott, and Harper, and he's in a slump. You know, listen, these guys are all swinging for the fences. And if you can't have a short game along with a complete game, you're never going to win it. Because as you go up the pyramid, the pitching gets better, okay? You ultimately get to the finals, so you're facing the best pitching in baseball. And they can't hit the best pitching. You're not going to hit the best pitching out of the park every day.
No, I got you, Ron, and I appreciate the call, man. I just think this is what the guys are. Like, they're not going to change. They're not going to approach it differently. So I'd rather them just try to hit for power, because them trying to do things differently is not going to work.
You know, it's the unfortunate thing about the last two seasons for the Phils is that, you know, the slugging has gotten them in position to win a World Series. I mean, and that's a fact. But the unfortunate thing in both seasons was the bats went cold at the worst time. When I think of the Braves, and I know this is probably a bad example, but the year that they won the World Series,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the reasons why they got there, because they were hitting. And they did it without Ronald Acuna being in the lineup.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. It's a blessing and a curse. It's just unfortunate for us the last 2 years. We've been cursed with the fact that it's not paid us huge dividends at the time that we needed the most. But it's gotten you in position to be there. So it's kind of hard. I hear what people are saying, but it's kind of hard to change the mantra when that was the mantra that got you to where you are.
Yeah, and like but this is the thing. I'll take that. I'll take the offense putting me in position, because I still look back at last year, and yeah, game 6 and game 7 was bad, and that was the offense. They didn't come through. But I still look at game 4, and if you have better bullpen and you have one more bullpen arm, or Rob Thompson manages that game differently, you just win that game. We're not even talking about it. You know, like, you could have won that series in Arizona, but Rob Thompson went to Craig Kimbrell. That was a huge
issue. Yeah, that was another one that had people, you know, shaking their head, because that's a guy that I understand the fact that you trust him, but he just didn't have it in that series. He just didn't have it. And that's one of the ones where I'm pretty sure you never like to second guess yourself as a manager, but I'm pretty sure that's one he wish he probably wouldn't have. Bet on him as much as he did.
Yeah, and that's why when you look at the Philly so far, like, I think we all just need to come to terms a little bit with what the offense is. Like, they're going to be streaky. When they're going good, they're going to hit a lot of home runs. They're going to score a lot. But they're going to have stretches where they strike out a lot and they don't score a ton. And I'll take that. Like, I would still rather have this offense than, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks offense. And an offense that's reliant on, you know, getting base hits and driving and moving runners over. I think it's easier ultimately and better to be a home run.
And then you got to talk. Arizona has some timely pitching, because there was a couple times where they had some pitches on the mound. It was like, oh, I didn't know he was going to give us that today. So it was a little bit of that too.
Still not over that series. Just devastating. Absolutely devastating. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. Hi, Cowboy Jim.
Unstoppable, Kyle. Unstoppable. You get Brock Bowers and you'll be unstoppable. Oh, yeah. Bring in another Georgia kid. Oh, how did that work out for you last year, dummy?
Cowboy Jim, CeeDee Lamb's about to hold out. How do you feel about that?
He'll be fine. They'll give him his money.
No, you guys are the Cowboys guys are going to be fine.
You guys are spending a ton of money. We'll spend a ton of money. We'll still win.
Will you?
Yes, we will.
I'm waiting for that to happen. Has Jerry Jones lifted a finger this offseason?
Yeah, they've been chill.
Patience.
Well, speaking of teams that need defense, Jim, they need some defensive players after giving up, 50 to the Packers in that playoff game?
That was the last game. Give me a break. They still were number one in the East. They still had a better defense than the Eagles. I'm not worried about that. You guys, you stress out too much about the little things. Jerry Jones, he'll know exactly what to do when the draft comes. We got Dak Prescott. We'll win the East. After that, let's see what happens, okay?
Wait, y'all going to win the East?
Yeah,
nobody's going back
about,
to back in forever.
Don't worry about it, Hugh. Don't worry. Hey, listen, where's Ashlyn? Where's that? When TK, when you're around, Ashlyn's around. Hey, Hugh, could you take a few days off and Ashlyn come to? Because she's got nothing to do for the next few months.
Yeah. So you know what? Shut up.
Yeah.
He's talking about the fire.
No, yeah, because Ashlyn Sullivan and I have done some shows together, and it's kind of disconcerting the relationship that Ashlyn and Cowboy Jim has. Ashlyn actually likes Cowboy Jim, and they it's a cordial conversation, which I'm just not accustomed to. It always puts me in a weird spot.
She seems like that's the type of person she is. Like, she's a very understanding, caring,
a nice person.
Yes,
yeah.
and she speaks to everybody. So I can see that.
But not Cowboy Jim. He's a loser. Like, let's call him what he is.
I can't even be that mad at Cowboy Jim. He did give me some good bourbon.
He did?
Yeah, he gave me
some. Let's take a tally. Today you've apologized for Tobias Harris and Cowboy Jim.
He's cheating on you with Cowboy Jim.
This is ridiculous.
First of all, it's not an apology. I see the irony in it, which a lot of people don't, but I see the irony in the fact that this man, when you talk about the level of a, as a former athlete, you think of certain accolades go along with getting that kind of money. Like they say, you look good, you feel good, you play good, they pay good. Something like that. That's how the saying goes.
Okay.
Tobias Harris has gotten paid, ain't been to an all-star game, and he's gotten paid. I am not mad at that.
But that
why?
Is...
Please, do you root for the Sixers or not? Or do you root for the guy's wallet?
Listen, I do root for the Sixers. But his daddy is his agent, and they fleeced the Sixers.
Okay, why are you impressed or happy about that?
I'm just wow, how does that happen?
It's burning a hole on our salary cap, Hugh. It's why this team isn't fully all in to compete this year.
You know what's funny? I'm glad Joe's not here today. Because he would be piling on you, too.
This is a disaster by you.
I just find the irony in the whole situation.
It happens because the Sixers were extremely poorly run, and they chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. They chose
that was crazy.
Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler. Ben and Tobias, they chose over Jimmy.
And Jimmy Buckets. And now we're sitting here today talking about, hey, Jimmy Butler. And now, playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy.
Who are you taking on Wednesday night, Hugh? Are you taking Jimmy or Tobias?
Oh, I'm taking playoff Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
But I'm taking the Sixers to win. Look at Kyle looking at me like that. No, I'm taking the Sixers to win, but playoff Jimmy going to show up, though.
Yeah, playoff Jimmy's scary.
Playoff Jimmy's going to show up, but we got the best player on the planet right now that's playing in the playoffs.
Playoff Jimmy.
I just don't want to hear one more glorification of Tobias Harris's contract.
It's not glorifying. It's just that's kind of
don't do it, Hugh.
I'm done, man. I'm gonna kind of throw rocks at me when I leave the building.
We've beaten Hugh down today with the Tobias Harris.
I ain't thinking about y'all, man. I'm just saying, it's just wild.
But we do have an update from Sixers practice in a minute. But first, let's look at the odds for Wednesday night, because I was kind of surprised when this came out. The Sixers 4.5-point favorites against the Heat on Wednesday night. So obviously, Vegas not really looking at past years. They're looking at this season. They think the Sixers should win it. Now, Kyle, what is the odd situation for the Sixers to win the title this year?
Sorry, I haven't pulled up, but I saw that they're very much ahead of the Miami Heat. So for all you people who are afraid about the Miami Heat, the Sixers are looked at as a way better chance to go to the NBA Finals and win it than the Miami Heat. So they're plus 1,600, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are sixth in odds right now, but tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder for best chance to win the title. The Heat all the way down at plus 4,200. So that's how much better the odds makers view the Sixers than the Miami Heat.
And I would say this, as a tip to people who want to bet the Sixers to win the title, if you really like them, bet that now, Because if they beat the Heat on Wednesday, I think that number probably dips down to like plus 1,000. Like that's how much of a difference I think it is from them playing the Knicks and the Celtics.
So you're saying if I want to put some money on this historic run that they're about to go on, I probably need to get in today.
Yeah. What do we think we can get odds on for Tobias Finals MVP? That would be like outlandish.
You're going to flip out on you too?
I'm just curious.
I don't know if I would go
just
that
curious
far.
About what it could be like. But they're the odds for the Sixers to win the title, plus 1,600. Now, we do have an update from Sixers practice. Coach Nick Nurse spoke to the media just moments ago. Here's what Coach Nurse had to say about Joel Embiid.
Good. He was good. He was in good spirits. He was highly engaged. A lot of the things we were doing were super game plan specific. He was locked in.
So they feel good about Joel. He's practicing today, and it seems like all systems go for Wednesday. There's no way Joel's not
playing. No, he can't miss this, man. I mean, this is the big moment, and I think they've done everything in their power to try to keep them as healthy as they possibly can down this stretch so that you can get the most out of him. So, yeah. I think he can't miss this, man.
Now, I don't think DeAnthony Melton is practicing, so that's a negative development. And they already said Robert Covington is very unlikely to play again this year. So it looks like they'll have Embiid, but it does not appear like they'll have Melton. That's relatively healthy. That's healthier than the team's been for the majority of the back half of the season. So huge to get Joel Embiid back for this game on Wednesday night. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Jack in Newtown. What's up, Jack?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
I want to make the case for Schwarber not leading off. I don't want to drop him down to fifth or sixth or any place. I just want to drop him down to second. I have a question for Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, well.
Forget. Wait a minute.
Okay.
That's my question. Forget last year. Let's go back to 2022. How many times do you think in the first inning Schwarber hit a home run in 2022?
I don't know. Like,
all right.
20?
Go ahead. 20. Yeah,
that's probably high.
Seven times.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out the justification why in 2023, if he did it seven times, that's only 4% of the games, they would have him lead off. Then he jumped up last year. They hit 14 times in the first inning. So jumped up to 8%.
Okay.
My point here is bat him second. Have somebody in front of him who will get on base. He's hit 93 home runs the past 2 years. 60 of those home runs have been with nobody on base. So only less than about one third of the time was somebody on base. Here's my point.
But Jack, what's the guarantee that whoever you're going to hit in front of him, Stott, Turner, what's the guarantee that guy's going to get on base?
Well, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than the number nine hitter in the lineup, who might be Rojas or somebody else. I'll tell you who I would have leading off. The guy, aside from Bryce Harper, the man with the highest on-base percentage last year for the Phillies was Marsh. I'd have him leading off. Get on base. Then you have your first baseman. If he's not hitting a home run, at least the first baseman has to cover the guy on first base, which opens up more so that if he does hit a single, Marshall would be on third base.
Well, then you're stacking your lefties together, Jack. Then you have Marsh, Schwarber.